Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go by NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your saber calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray calls, have a yarn. Now, we're talking about the world we're living in at the moment, COVID-19, and majority of people are working from home. So the question is regarding the paperwork and very important documents, what have you. What do we do to get to protect that information, especially if we need to bin some of the stuff? We're going to catch up a yarn now with the Managing Director of Bag and Shred, and that's Alex Tarragonis, and got him on the line. Alex, a very good morning. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Good morning to you and to your listeners.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. And so, as I stated, yeah, we're living in an upside-down world at the moment, very different. Your company and your product, Bag and Shred, time is everything in life. And coronavirus has probably lifted your profile in regard to the business you do. Can you please explain what Bag and Shred is all about, please, Alex?
Bag and Shred is a solution for documents that have been normally taken care of in a shredding bin, or what we would call a secure bin via a secure process from the office, where today that is changed, albeit for the short term. But we get told to take your notebook or take your laptop, grab a screen on your way out, and you're working from home indefinitely. So that the one or two offices across Sydney or Melbourne or Brisbane or Perth have now turned into 400 offices across the country for many companies that have people working from the dining table, from the study nook that is shared by the kids that are homeschooling, or in a house sharing situation where there might be three or four people sharing a house. We're finding that it isn't exactly the same environment or secure environment that many, many years of office procedures have seen us finding secure processes in which to get rid of this sensitive information. Now, Australian privacy law states that businesses must take reasonable steps to destroy or de-identify personal information that is no longer required. And without getting too technical, personal information is something that could be a name, an address, and a date of birth, a name, an address, and something about a person, a medical condition. So, a script, an old prescription, is something that is a private document, let alone all the other things like bank statements and tax records. Photographs and images of things that form parts of evidence are also that. Given that we don't have that locked bin inside the office, Bag and Shred is the solution to that, and it creates the opportunity for the user to funnel the information back into the secure pipeline and into the recycling stream, because we send the person, upon ordering, an empty bag in the mail. They fill it, seal it. It is a recyclable plastic bag that is specially coated so that it's not see-through. It isn't identified from an address perspective of where it's coming from, only where it's going to. It then gets lodged by the user or the person at the post office, at any post office, of which there are 4,500 Australia-wide.
Mm-hmm.
It gets tracked via the Australia Post tracking system all the way back to us. Once it is opened in the secure environment, it is shredded, and a certificate of destruction confirming the secure destruction is emailed back to the customer.
Fantastic. So it protects documents, personal and private documents, protects the company, protects the individual. So It's a very powerful tool in the space that we're living in at the moment.
That's a very good comment because that you made, because interestingly, when we apply and accept positions in many jobs, we're nowadays made to sign confidentiality agreements, non-disclosure agreements, and all of that means that we are committing to abide by the, you know, the Privacy Act personally as well, directly through the company. So if we're at home, and I've seen this on many Zoom meetings and Skype meetings, and whilst that's been fantastic and a lifesaver for a lot of people doing work from home, all these face-to-face meetings, in the background you often see other people walking around, and those conversations are often on the speakers of the computer, and they're not just in headphones. So what your relative or your housemate or your sibling might never ever hear if you were working in an office, today they have an opportunity of seeing and hearing, not by their desire, but just by the sheer nature of what we've had to do, in their living room. And of course, they're also housebound too. So whilst you're on, or you and I are on a meeting, they can't get away. They unfortunately have to hear it. And a lot of these breaches might just be passive breaches in information. They might not be people who are actively seeking to cause a problem. But if they hear or see something on a desk, on a dining table, and they happen to be talking to someone in 3 months' time, and they say, oh, yes, I remember seeing blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
That's something that we could have avoided, and that's what we're trying to achieve here. The solution is to put it in the bag, get rid of it, and have it destroyed.
Okay, so with your product there, Bag and Shred, your company there, how big are the bags and what's the cost?
The cost is $19.90. It holds 1,000 sheets of A4 paper, which is 2 reams. They're roughly the size of a pillow, pillowcase.
Okay.
And they travel. I guess, you know, they travel directly to the house via Australia Post, which is Australia's most trusted logistics organisation.
Yes. Yes.
And they travel back to us via their tracking processes.
So how do people get in contact with you, Alex?
The phone number is 1300 524 462. The website is bagandshred.com.au.
Fantastic. So that's from anywhere in the country?
Anywhere in the country. It'll go to anywhere where there's an Australia Post, as I said, of which there's 4,500 locations.
Well, it's about thinking outside the square, so to speak, and working in an environment that is unseen by most people around the globe, and well, virtually everybody in the world that we live in at the moment. So, look, fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing. I think it's a great concept, great idea, great product. All the best to you, and let's protect the privacy of individuals and companies. Thank you very much, and all the best, Alex.
You're welcome. The same to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A very deadly yarn there. That's Alex Tarragonis, and he's the Managing Director of Bag and Shred. So look, check out that information, bagandshred.com.au, for business people or people operating from home and want to protect documents and in the world that we're living in at the moment with COVID-19. It's so funny that this week is Privacy Awareness Week. So how important is that conversation in the week that we're yarning? Have your say, your mob. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Yarning with the Bully One, Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trev, Murray from the Curry. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. And we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumabrip Midi, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416. Too deadly.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know at BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your sober calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, too deadly, living in an upside-down world we are at the moment, COVID-19, but it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to it, and virtually adapting to the changes. We're going to catch up and have a yarn now with Christian Siebert. He's a researcher, industry fellow, Centre for Social Impact Swinburne, and talking about philanthropy in the context of COVID-19. Very good morning, Christian. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Trevor.
Thank you for coming to the program. Where are you based, sorry?
So I'm based down in Melbourne.
Fantastic.
It's a lot colder than...
in Cairns, sunny North Queensland, Cairns. We've got overcast at the moment, but we call it warm rain. So all good up this way, mate. Tell me about the space that you live in, the space you're working in, philanthropy, in the context of COVID-19. We are all being flexible in regard to COVID-19 upon us and how we do business and how we live our lives. Tell us the space you're working in and philanthropy in the context of COVID-19.
Yeah, so, I mean, the focus of my work is looking at philanthropy in Australia, giving to charity, the not-for-profit sector. The not-for-profit sector in Australia, charities, those organisations, play a really important role in the Australian community, providing services to those in need, education, health, welfare, all sorts of important services. And they actually... charities generate an income in Australia of $146 billion a year based on the most recent data that we've got. And that covers everything from, some hospitals and schools and welfare services, all sorts of different organisations.
And different industries across the board.
Yeah, and there's a big part of that is... Indigenous organisations, Indigenous-led health organisations, and education organisations, as well, so that's the sector that I focus on, and I have a particular focus on philanthropy, which is organisations. Sometimes they're called trusts and foundations that give money or grant money to charities. But I'm also interested in how the wider community, the public overall. Give money to charities, and as you said in the introduction, everything sort of is upside down at the moment, and there's all sorts of things happening in our society, in our community, and it's having an impact on charities, it's having an impact on philanthropy too.
So with COVID-19, the upside down world we're living in, how is philanthropy shifting its engagement with grantees, so to speak?
Yeah, so it's interesting. In terms of trusts and foundations, so bigger organisations that sort of give larger amounts of money to charities every year, there has been a sort of shift in the way that they are acting. So basically, they're often in the past, many trusts and foundations have funded organisations to do particular programs, deliver particular initiatives. Whereas what we're seeing is that in response to what's happening with COVID-19, many trusts and foundations are saying, look, we know that you've got really uncertain times, challenging times. So basically, trusts and foundations are sort of loosening up any restrictions that they might have about how their funds can be spent by these organisations. They're really listening to them proactively, how they can support them better. Many trusts and foundations are looking to... increase how much they're giving away because the need within charities is increasing and the need within communities is increasing. So there is this real change happening. But at the other end of that, there are some pretty sort of dire predictions in terms of what will happen to giving to charities this year and next year. So there is a prediction that total giving, and this includes giving from trusts and foundations, but also giving from everyday people, will go down by about 7% this year, and then it'll go down by another 12% next year, which will have a big impact. Even though many charities get revenue from government and other sources as well, a reduction in giving like that will have a big impact.
So you talk about some of the possible policy options as such when giving during the crisis and how we move to a recovery phase, yeah?
So we basically there are a few things that sort of are happening at the moment. So many trusts and foundations are sort of changing the way that they're sort of engaging with those that they support. The peak body Philanthropy Australia, which is like a peak body which includes many trusts and foundations as members, is sort of really leading the charge in terms of getting trusts and foundations to sort of change the way they engage with their grantees, and there's this real sort of collective, collaborative effort. And there are things, for example, there is a like a online so-called COVID-19 national funding platform. So if any of your listeners are from charities and they want to find out more, if they go to communityfoundation.org.au/COVID-19, it's basically this online platform where charities can put sort of information about sort of their funding needs, put up proposals, etc. And trusts and foundations go there as well, and they look at that, and it's a way of basically matching funding with where there are needs. But yeah, we're also looking at policy options to try and encourage people to and trusts and foundations to give more, and because we know that need is there within charities and within the broader community. And I suppose one example of the need that I heard about the other day was that one foundation is actually funding a group of Indigenous-led health organisations because the funding that they get from the government isn't enough to actually provide them with adequate personal protective equipment, so all the sort of masks and things, gloves they need at the moment because of COVID-19. So philanthropy is funding them to buy that, and that's a sort of symbol of the kind of situation that we're in.
So philanthropy, see a space there, a gap that they can fill, and so they come to the table with their funds, so to speak. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
In regards to the philanthropy and the money coming to the table, we're dealing with you're dealing with successful people from across the board from all industries who are successful in their field and are happy to donate. Is that how it virtually works?
Yeah, well, I mean, so philanthropy is very diverse. There's, in the case of, say, trusts and foundations, they're often, some of them have been around for, you know, a very long time, and they were founded by sort of wealthy people a long time ago. Some of them are newer, people that have been successful in business or in other...
It's about giving back, isn't it?
Yeah, and they want to do something good for the community. And then there are lots of people, of course, who, you know, don't necessarily have that huge amount of money, but they still give small amounts, and that's really important as well.
Yes, let's not forget that as well, you know. Donating is a gift from the heart, and we must salute and take our hats off to everybody who donate and support the Australian community.
And there are also quite a number of trusts and foundations that do have a specific focus on giving to Indigenous organisations, and in particular Indigenous-led organisations, and philanthropy is very conscious about, you know, giving to those organisations, but also the importance of Indigenous people leading those organisations, making the decisions themselves, and what's in the interests of their community.
Yeah, which is fantastic. And look, it's a very important space. And we as First Nation people, we take it as a hand up, not a hand out, so to speak. And the phrase, you know, catch a fish, feed a man for a day, teach a man a fish, feed him for a lifetime. And it's supporting each other. And we are behind the eight ball as in First Nation people and the life that we're living in regarding closing the gap in all aspects. So it is a support, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, and there's actually... there's actually a new organisation in Melbourne that was set up not long ago, which was actually a foundation set up a number of years ago, and it had quite a large sort of amount of funding in it, and it was basically transferred to full Indigenous control. So it's called Kundi Wunga Gat Turong, and basically it was previously it existed for a number of years, and the people who were sort of in charge of it decided, well, what do we want to do with this? And they said, well, we want to basically give this money to Indigenous people to control, and they make the decisions. We can assist and support if they would like that, but it'll be their decisions about how the money is spent, who it goes to.
Well, empowering. And like we as First Nation people, we've got the answers to our problems. Funding and money is just a tool to make that come to fruition. But very important conversation. I thank you very much, Christian, for sharing with us. All the best to you and your deadly team and your family. Look, stay safe. And we'll yarn soon, Christian.
Thanks so much, Trevor. You too.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there, Christian Soibot, his name is, moderator or a researcher, industry fellow, Centre for Social Impact Swinburne, and talking about philanthropy in the context of COVID-19 and how they're operating in the space at the moment. And yeah, it's about giving, and the best exercise for your heart is bending down, lifting somebody up, and that's what philanthropy does in supporting Australians, all Australians, and great to see they're working with First Nation people as well. Have your say, your mob here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yarnin with Baldy on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Curry, taking right up to 12 noon Queensland time. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So give me a call, 1-800-422-416. Too deadly.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program. This is National Talk Black, yarning with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM Bummerbrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, Jamal, hope you're travelling well in COVID-19, the world we're living in at the moment, upside down, but it's about adhering to the rules, laws that are in place to protect us all, and so do what you need to do. We're going to catch up now with the brother there from Edmonton Police. We have Lloyd Beale on the line, PLO, Police Liaison Officer, for Which Way Yarning Program, and that's proudly sponsored by Piconi IGA Brinsmead in Edmonton, and they give us a box of fruit here at Bummerbibra, and healthy living, healthy lifestyle message we deliver there. Lloyd online, a very good morning, brother. How are you?
Yeah, good, bro. How are you?
Very good. Fantastic. Thanks for coming to the program. My brother, just let the people know who your mob, where you from, bro.
Bro, you know me, I'm the PLO with the flow, you know, from the Queensland Police Service.
Yes.
Been doing this job for about 15 years and loving it.
Beautiful, brother. Fantastic. Now, you brought a couple of guests there with you. We have Beck Kudus, a program manager of Wheels of Wellness. WOW is the acronym. Fantastic. A very good morning, Beck. How are you?
Morning to you. I'm very good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming along. Look, fantastic. And also, you got a body together, Brother Wayne Christensen. Is that right?
Yes. Good morning, brother.
Morning, Wayne. How are you, brother? First of all, let the mob know who you mob, where you from, bro.
From Bannigan, down here on Squadman and stayed. Been a helper for the last 18 years.
Fantastic. Beck, who you mob? Where you from, Beck?
I'm from here in Cairns. I'm the program manager of Wheels and Wellness.
How long have you been in that position?
2 years now.
Fantastic. Let the listeners know, Wheels of Wellness, what you guys are about, please.
Wheels of Wellness, more affectionately known as WOW, was established by Dr. Amanda Roberts in 2014 as a social initiative of Stratford Medical Centre. Our core function is to provide medical services to our vulnerable community members. That includes our homeless and rough sleepers. And we do this via a mobile outreach service delivery model at various locations in Cairns.
Okay, fantastic. So you work in conjunction with other providers and services and looking after homelessness. So do you do the food side of things as well?
We collaborate with other service providers that assist with food and laundry. So some of the collaborative providers we work with are Rosie's, Fine
okay.
Sky,
yep.
Anglicare, Mission Australia, Yeti, and more recently the Queensland Police and the Kapani Warrior Mob.
Yes.
And that has been a wonderful partnership, and particularly through the crisis of COVID-19 and coming together to deliver education around how to keep our community members safe and to stop the spread of COVID-19.
Yeah, in the space we're all working in at the moment, COVID-19, how do you guys navigate through COVID-19 regarding delivering your service?
We haven't actually stopped delivering services, so we have maintained our service delivery model. We have moved towards more telehealth where possible, but we've picked up on the education side through the COVID crisis. So it was probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago that the Queensland Police reached out and Kapani reached out and asked if we were interested in doing street education work, which meant spreading it towards out the south and north, two different teams. And those teams included members of WOW, Queensland Police and Kapani.
Yes.
And basically we went out to give education around how to stay safe and to stop the spread of COVID-19, particularly for our vulnerable community members.
And when you're talking about our vulnerable community members, you know, a lot of those people have not got access to, well, radio, if not laptop, internet, wireless, so to speak, and regarding getting information and the world we're living in at the moment, they could be obsolete in regard to the information.
Correct, and we did notice that, and it was definitely something that was flagged for the WOW program that we knew the majority of our client base didn't have the same access to media and education that we're so fortunate to have.
Mm.
And we knew the best way to spread that word was direct face-to-face education on the streets.
Sure. Over to Wayne, Brother Wayne there. Your job as Indigenous worker, what does your job entail, brother, in regard to the work that you do with Wheels of Wellness, WOW?
So I'm the Indigenous health worker. What our usual route, apart from this COVID that's come into place, I work with our nurses and the doctors to provide liaison services, clinical work for clients, such as the villas, Anglicare, and a few other facilities around Cairns.
Yes.
Now that this COVID's come around, assisting with a lot of the education about COVID, as you mentioned earlier,
yes,
the lack of resources and lack of information that's been spread to the less fortunate, or you know, all the countrymen that are on the street.
Exactly.
So we kind of like a go-between in regards to outsourcing information as well as providing any medical or clinical care that they may need as time during our little Tuesday and Thursday ventures out around the streets and surrounding areas here in Cairns.
And if you look at it, brother, and I'm sure you will agree, there's nothing that beats black on black. And when you've got a First Nation person working with an organisation, dealing with our mob on the streets, it just makes that bridge of communication more open, more at ease to have that communication, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like seeing a familiar face.
Exactly.
Or just a familiar skin colour. You know,
that's it, bro.
Identify with our mob. I found there was a lot of families here from Cape York, families from Maricoon. Most of I've had contact with before, so...
Of course, Bella, that's right, that connection there.
Yeah, so that kind of makes the approach much more easier.
Fantastic. Back to you regarding Wheels of Wellness, WOW. In regards to staff and how do you guys operate? You have an office as such and then you've got a van, is that right? How's that all work?
Yes, so we currently work, our home base is currently at Stratford Medical Centre. So the staff and myself work out of here. This is where we call our base.
Mm-hmm.
And then we run our clinic via either sharing spaces with Anglicare, Mission Australia, Yeti, using their spaces. And then we do have a car that we go and deliver the street services in, and that is pretty much well an awning at the moment, which we set up.
Sure, yes.
Put our computers, we're totally IT savvy. We can put enter records at the time. We are in the process of raising funds and trying to get donations to get a new van out on the street, totally kitted out.
Okay.
Which will offer more privacy and 2 consulting rooms within the van.
So yep.
We'll have an examination area and a area for psychological services or podiatry services or dietitian services.
Yes, all the above.
But it's all still to come, and we're hoping to have all that all ready to go in the new financial year.
Good, fantastic. And if people wanted to donate support, how do they go about it, Bec?
They can do that via our Facebook page, Wheels of Wellness, and there is a link to a GoFundMe page
there,
which we're using to raise money to go towards fitting out the new van. So any assistance in that area would be greatly appreciated. I do also need to thank the Northern Queensland Primary Health Network for funding the WOW program.
Good.
We collaborate with the Pima Pima, who have been of great assistance with helping us with information to actually hand out. So they helped us with providing and coming up with the brochures that we delivered.
Yes.
And, of course, to Queensland Police and Kapani, it has been a wonderful partnership. And I think WOW is only as good as the collaborative partnerships we form, and we do have a great partnership.
Exactly. And if you look at the so-called phrase affirmation that the government has been using nationally, we are all in this together. I mean, there it is, explaining what you guys do in collaboration with your associates and other partners. It's a fantastic a team effort, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, Trevor, it is. Having WOW on board has been such a kick in itself. It's just wonderful. Mm. And, you know, for a long time, our people have been hunters and gatherers, and having these guys on board to educate them about social distance is very, very important, because it comes with the heart of not just outreach, but reaching out to the people, you know what I mean?
Exactly, Lloyd, yes. Yeah, I'm following you, my brother. The other thing, Bec, you mentioned Anglicare. I mean, they did a lot of youth work. So we're talking about youth on the streets as well, and you're engaging with as well?
Yeah, so we do. Look, WOW has a very broad range of client demographics, ranging from the youth, you know, to returned ex-servicemen now. I think financial crisis and health needs apply to everybody. We do work at YETI, which is the Youth Empowerment Towards Independence.
Mm-hmm.
And we do see a lot of youth that are vulnerable. And I think it's important, WOW, yes, it has a focus on our homeless and rough sleepers, but it also has a very strong focus on those at risk of being homelessness. So we try and capture them before they end up in that space, and that's a really vital core function of what WOW delivers, is definitely capturing those patients.
And Bec, WOW, Wheels of Wellness, is that a local thing, a state thing, a national thing?
It's a local thing, it was established, like I said, in 2014 by Dr. Amanda Roberts, initially just as a social initiative, and to let people know that even private enterprise with good partnerships, with good collaboration and a good team can give back to community. WOW is working towards becoming its own entity, and we tend to, you know, but at the moment we are here, based here in Cairns, and Cairns is where our heart is.
Well, so lucky to have you here in our own city, Wheels of Wellness. But look, it's a fantastic program. To me, it should be across the state, across the nation, and helping all our mob and all Australians in the situation that they find themselves in.
Thank you. Sounds like a big job. I'm for the moment.
Well, from little things, big things grow. They should make a song about that, and you know, and beginnings half done, and you're starting here in Cairns and looking after a mob, and I take my hat off to you guys and the work that you're doing, and also all the partnerships involved. Great to see Edmonton Police, Queensland Police involved as well. Lloyd, you guys are doing a fantastic job there, and it's getting it together, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just amazing. You know, many hands make light work, brother. And
true.
All we've got to do is just get out there and reach out to the people. Job's done. Simple as that.
And it also shows that the blue uniform, brother, working with people like Wheels of Wellness, WOW, and you know, and Anglicare, and YETI, and it shows that we are here to protect you as well as support you, guide you, and give you a better life, you know, and point you in the right direction.
Bro, it's been wonderful. People are starting to really accept us as the Queensland Police Service, and the service in itself, along with the wonderful WOW, I see you now. You couldn't go wrong, bro.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes Murray look at here come Bullyman here getting ready to take off, but this high five and you know, or just tapping at the feet, you can't do the hugging thing no more, brother. But look, it's fantastic. Beck, thank you very much. Nice talking to you, Wayne, my brother, doing a fantastic job. Lloyd, all the best to you, and thank you very much for sharing, you guys.
Before we go,
yes,
I just want to highlight something too as well. Like you mentioned there before, like every time I'm obviously policemen, you know, automatically they're on the offensive side. You know, they get up, but now that we've formulated this partnership, there's an education both sides of the fence. So they see the Queensland Police, you know, unarmed, walking in casual clothes, working from a community sense, not an enforcement.
Exactly.
And then also for education, for the collaborative group looking at how far people will go in order for survival.
Point, you make a good point there, Wayne. It's so very true, you know. But we're not only talking about the education side of it, we're talking about the health side of it, the physical and the mental sense, you know, and also the soul, you know. Yeah, we are very strong spiritually, us mob, and then we can fix our soul up, look for the future, and with the ancestors within us, you know, we can look at light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak.
That mob is smart, you know, like. I give them credit. At one stage there, we went looking all over around Cairns for these Murrays, but they all understood that there was a big sick going around, not just around the world, and straight away, all these Murrays.
Well, they got the Murray Grape one too, haven't they, Wayne? So they make that yarn. Okay, hey, look, the mob coming here. Well, okay, I'll get over there then. They can help me with this problem I got here, you know?
Most of them, you know, all moved out bush.
True.
Self-isolation themselves.
Yes.
Safer, you know, like,
yes.
No contact with people, they just have their own little social gatherings or social groups. So,
well, you could find that they could be more in a better, safer position than all of us because they can isolate, they virtually do isolate themselves. And, like I said, go bush, whatever, they're probably in a better position of not catching COVID-19, you know.
It's just that built-in homing system, you know, when six around or something's happening, you know, return the country. Might not be their country here, but that's the bush is built in, and that's what they're doing. So
exactly.
I commend them for that.
Exactly. Well, feeling the passion in your voice, Brother Wayne Christensen, thank you very much. Beck Curtis, all the best to you, Program Manager of Wheels and Wellness. Wow. Too Deadly, and also Brother Lloyd, thank you very much, my bro.
No worries. Thank you, my bro.
All the best, you guys. Keep smiling. Take care, and most importantly, stay safe, eh?
Okay,
Too Deadly. Bye bye. A deadly yarn there, beautiful yarn with Lloyd Beeler, Police Liaison Officer, Edmonton Police, and yarn in the program as well was Beck Curtis, Program Manager of Wheels of Wellness. Wow, how deadly is that? And also Brother Wayne Christensen, who's the Indigenous worker with Wheels of Wellness. And you can check them out on Facebook page as well, and all the stuff that they're doing, and also donate if you want to donate, a non-profit organisation, and helping our mob on the streets, homelessness, and in regards to their health. So working with a group of people, organisations like Anglicare, Police, Queensland Police, Yeti. So it is a team effort and looking after our mob on the streets, the vulnerable people. In the space we're living at the moment, COVID-19, take care of your mob. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, that deadly number 1-800-422-416. Yeah, I'm with Baldy and Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, you know, at BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, you know, at BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yes, we are living in a different world at the moment thanks to COVID-19, and our mob are struggling in more ways than one. We're going to catch up a yarn now with the CEO of MIFA, that's Mental Illness Fellowship of Australia. We have Tony Stevenson on the line and talk about our mob and how it concerns us as First Nation people in COVID-19. On the line, Tony Stevenson, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So, yeah, we are living in an upside-down world at the moment, but with our mob, First Nation people, in regards to the mental health conditions, and you're saying that it's virtually, in a way, they are escalating because of fear, anxiety and social isolation in COVID-19, yep?
Yes, I think so. I think we all need to be on the lookout for any increase in our concerns about our mental health. As we are all locking down and we're socially isolated from our friends and family for long periods of time, it's not great for our mental health, and we need to be aware of that, and we need to reach out and get help. And we certainly need to connect in with our family and friends as any way we can, on the phone or whatever we can do. But when it comes to people with a severe mental illness like schizophrenia, for example, we're very concerned because people often haven't been able to get out and get the support that they need.
And they're in a situation where virtually all four walls are closing in on them. You could say like cabin fever, so to speak, and that's not a good space to be in, yeah?
No, it's not. That level of anxiety and particularly the uncertainty about the future, it's not good for any of us, but if you've already got a serious mental illness, it's very concerning. There is always support available, and many people would have been getting some of that support on a regular basis, but a lot of that's been disrupted now. Mm. Group programs and centres have been closed. If you've been getting support into your home, that's probably not coming in now. People are avoiding hospitals. So with all of that, we know that people are trapped and isolated at home. They're not getting the support that they need. And we need to make sure that that everyone is getting the support that's available.
So we're talking about, I don't know who's at fault here. The government should be doing more, or professionals should be at the table, or maybe frustrated with their hands tied because of COVID-19 and the isolation and the 1.5 metres and all the above?
Yeah, look, all the above, Trevor. We can all do more. Now, we've certainly been talking to government about how we need to respond to mental health concerns during this pandemic. And we are expecting the National Cabinet to make further announcements on Friday about another mental health response. A lot of our workers weren't getting the priority for the personal protective equipment. Sure. That's now starting to flow through. But because of our, restrictions around gatherings of people, we have had to close down services. That's really unfortunate. But the thing is that we can still connect with people over the phone and we can still offer support. So we want to make sure that even though you're not able to visit your regular service, that you are getting the support over the phone. That's probably the best we can do at this stage.
Sure. And I suppose thanks to technology, it becomes a powerful tool in the space that we're living in at the moment. When we're talking Zoom in or like FaceTime in or whatever the case may be, I mean, that's another tool as well, yes?
It is. And it's great to see that how quickly we can pick up on that technology with telehealth and everything else. Mm. But not everyone has got the equipment they need for that, or the plans, or the data, or even the skill and knowledge to be able to use all of that technology. So that has been a bit of a challenge for us, but we've tried to get people the devices and the other technology they need so that people can stay connected. So if you've got that technology and you know how to use it, that's great.
Good.
Get on the phone and let's get that support happening. But if you don't feel comfortable with all of that, please call us anyway, because we'll try and get the support to you in the best way we possibly can.
Exactly. Now, Mifa says that there are a number of early warning signs people should look out for to indicate a person has schizophrenia. Can you explain what they are and what they include? Thanks.
Yeah, so I'll just talk a little bit about some of the signs that we all need to be aware of.
Sure.
With our mental health, and then perhaps talk about schizophrenia and how that developed.
Yes.
But look, any unusual behaviour we need to be aware of, whether it's ourselves or our family or friends, any rapid mood changes or changes in our sleeping patterns, you know, either we're sleeping for long periods of time or we are disrupted in our sleep. If we notice people withdrawing themselves from their family and friends, I know we're all socially isolated, but if we just don't hear from anyone in our family for a while, that's a sign that there could be something happening with our mental health. Now, schizophrenia itself, it's a very serious mental illness, but it is an illness like many other illnesses. It happens because of something that's happening in our body. In the case of schizophrenia, the development of our brain is affected through a chemical imbalance, and that's why people develop schizophrenia. We don't actually know exactly why it happens. We can't prevent it at the moment. We can't cure it. But we do know that it develops around late adolescence or early adulthood. Now, that's a very challenging time for a lot of people, and often it gets misinterpreted. We think that the person's just gone off the rails, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And in fact, they're starting to develop a very serious mental illness. So we need to be aware of all of those signs. And if people in our family, young people around 16 up to 18, 20 or whatever, are starting to act very, very strangely, perhaps they're starting to hear voices or see things that aren't there, that's a sign that we really need to take their mental health seriously and get people connected into their health service or their GP or someone who can do a proper assessment of their mental health.
So family and friends, how do we, who do we call? How do we get in touch with somebody for support if we are recognising this?
Yeah, well, I think always the face-to-face contact is the best thing. So that's where you go to your GP or your health service or into your hospital, you know, just to get things checked out. But we do have a national phone line. Anyone in Australia can call. It's 1-800-985-944.
The number again, 1-800-985-944?
Yep, that's right, Trevor. And we will connect you as close as we possibly can to your own local community and let you know about what services are available there.
You got a web page as well?
Yes, we do. Now, that's My Networks. It's mynetworks.org. There's a lot of information there. And also through the website, you can connect into our helpline as well.
Sure. So what you're saying is, Tony, don't let COVID-19 stop you from communicating with us. The door's always open, so to speak. The lines are open, and we're reaching out for you. Reach back is what you're saying, Tony.
Exactly, Trevor. We don't want people sitting at home worried about their mental health. You know, we'll get some support to you. And, in fact, the people that you call most likely have lived through the experience themselves. They know what you're going through. And we'll be able to get you on the right path.
Beautiful. Tony, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your deadly team and your family. Stay safe and look, we'll yarn soon, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you, Trevor. Really value your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn there with the CEO of MIFA, that's Mental Illness Fellowship of Australia, and that's and his name is Tony Stevenson. He's the CEO, and look, very concerned about a mob out there with schizophrenia, or if you're noticing a family member or a friend who's acting a little bit different, you know, unusual behaviour, changes in mood and or rapid mood changes, excessive sleep or loss of energy or sleep disturbance, that sort of thing. It's just be aware of the change in their behaviour. behaviour, and look, contact the organisation, 1-800-985-944. The number again, 1-800-985-944, and they'll be able to help you and point you in the right direction. It's about looking after our mob, looking after ourselves, and in the space we live in, COVID-19, upside down world, but we need to be aware of our family and friends and support any way we can. You can have your say here on your daily program, National Talk Black, that daily number 1-800-422-416. Yannam with Baldwin and Trevor, Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National News Radio Service, to Delhi. Give me a call, let's have a yarn, you mob.
Meanwhile, across the bay, nightlife again seems brothers.